your heart is to pray. What is in this song? Just settle down. Let's make progress. You to enter there. A whole generation is implicated by your entrance into depths. Because anytime you encounter men, they don't just encounter your person, they encounter your depths. That's why Satan don't want you to go deep. What men encounter is beyond our person, his persons, is our depth. Somebody said I can do everything except pray. I said, I'm the same thing with you now. We all came from the same place. Those days, the worst thing that can happen is to wake me up for prayer, especially night vigils. How many of you like prayer? You have always liked prayer from your mother's womb. Raise your hand. That guy, come and shine camera on him. He said he has always liked prayer from his mother's womb. From your mother's womb. So, we have a testimony of a man that loved prayer from his mother's womb. Glory to God. Amen. I want us to make progress. There are profound things I need to show you in the scripture. Very heavy things. The things I'm going to teach you on prayer is you can only learn it on the field. Now, the reason why I'm teaching you is to show you that it's scripturally compliant. It is what is in the scripture, taught by the scripture, but what will never open up to you until you make up your mind to begin to pursue it. Then you begin to see that many of the things you are reading, passing every day, they are just excerpts of the prayer ministry that is captured in the scripture. Amen? Amen. Oh, let me hear sound small. There is a sound I taught you. You have refused to play it. I taught you, I even wrote it down for you. Did everything for you. You refused. Hallelujah. So we are looking into lessons, basic lessons in basic prayer lessons. So our target is to educate. Why not pray in the spirit? Pray in the spirit, for many of you are not here yet. Pray in the spirit. Ask God to open your eyes of understanding. Focus. Sinamanta kabretolia devanaha patandili kiti. Lefte kuta kambre letamanta kakreta dia barada hatasate. Paranta laba kambreta katambreta tias tefatua. Panta, kapakuwa tene benete di kapatala. astapepenetia kambreto panaham patakat shateteria kapendurastofete manakata kambreta pahatai lekipotampe stakapata stakapata kapatita kapatania des kapetona na paha. I capona stapena cambre tapatale ante copena hambre stepa quante capana hatembre tabos aitema catalia stefate porra satana caila bahata hambre sofatama campetalia capeno sota caparatala apacande catia. We come. Sula pala apelia kamba sata patakate nanta katia peretos kapatala mamba katakatakatala sakatakatakatakatala. We come to the gates that answer to our names in the spirit. Open. Yes. When you strike it, you will know. Even the people around you will know that you have struck a depth. That you are not the man that they knew before. Sometimes when you pray, something about you begins to affect their life. They will know that this man has prayed before, but there is a plane from where you are praying now. The impact will be seen upon the lives of men. Huh? When a man begins to search and seek and go into depths in prayer, the evidence will be on your life. Now, I need to tell you that if you don't have such impact upon your life, then it means that your prayer is not even impactful in the things that you expect it to touch. When a man
has a prayer life that can affect things, affect territories, the first proof is that it will begin to affect your own life. So the first lesson you need to learn is that prayer travels inside before it travels outside. Real prayer, genuine prayer travels inside and begins to change the man praying before it goes outside. I don't care. Listen, if you understand this lesson, this first lesson, you will know that there is nothing. When somebody comes and tells you that there is masturbation, pornography, this one, just know that the person has not entered the depth yet in prayer, where the liberation and freedom that he's seeking dwells. There are chambers, there are layers. When men begin to journey, one day you stumble on one, and then you look for the things that are holding you back. You can't see them. You look for the spirit of slumber. You say, slumber, where are you? You say, I've gone. You look for tiredness in the place of prayer. You won't see the guy, because it's a spirit. You have just struck a fountain, a depth. You can't operate there, and certain things will operate in your life. So when a man prays genuinely, he encounters depths in God that have the capacity to transform your life. So except you understand that prayer transforms you, suddenly you notice that you used to be timid, weak, afraid, but once you charge in the place of prayer, you come out. When you charge in prayer, you come out. Suddenly, you seem as if the lion in you came out. Were you always like that? No. Something is happening inside. You began to encounter dimensions of God. Excerpts of divinity begins to flood your heart. And then your soul will be enlarged with the divine content, divine matters that you have encountered. So when we pray, it's a journey. That's why many times when we come, we say, let's journey to Horeb, the mount of God, the place of encounters, where you see the thunder, the lightnings, the earthquakes, and then you hear the voice. I don't know what you seek, but I know when you journey to Horeb, you will encounter. Encounters are the common ambience of a man of prayer. When you are a man of prayer, encounters are your common ambience. Those days, I stayed in, I don't want to tell my story. I was somewhere in the north, not far north, and I would pray and fast. Suddenly by 2 p.m. in the afternoon, the angels of the Lord will walk through the wall and enter the room where I'm praying and fasting. And then suddenly they will bring the smoke of God's presence, and they spoke audibly, and I heard. The things I heard is what we are doing now. Some people think it's tactics, it's principle, it's encounter. You are praying, there is still fear in your heart. You have not prayed enough. That is why we are praying. There is still weakness. There is still sickness. There is still some things. Continue praying. Somebody come and tell you that all these people that pray and they are still proud and not, don't mind that. They don't know what is prayer. If you continue praying, a point will come, you strike the fountain of humility. Humility is the fountain of the spirit, the fountain of character. When you hit that place, you can't stop yourself from being humble. When you hit the fountain of selflessness, you come there, you hold things, you count it, everybody owns it. At that point, greed dies. It's not by self-discipline. What those men are telling you is to be self-disciplined. It is good. It can help you to some point, but transformation comes in the place of prayer. When you open your heart, you say, Holy Ghost, I've come. I journey. Help me. And then you begin to journey. When you make progress to some point, how many of you have noticed? You were angry, discouraged, a lot of things. Then you came here, you began to pray. After 30 minutes to 1 hour, you search for your anger, you can't see. Search for your discouragement. Search for your frustration. Search for many things. That means something about what you are doing have sapped out all the discouragement that is in your heart. A transformation took place. You were ferried from where you are to a yonder place in God, where the possibilities of what you seek is domiciled. Meanwhile, these are the things given to prayer and priesthood. When a man journeys, then you see yourself in that place. You seek for the things ailing you. You can't see them. Even Satan can enter some places in prayer. I know there are demons that follow some people around, but there is a place you enter where fire dwells.
Mama,
fire dwells there. And when the fire begins to burn, some of those things will begin to cry out, I want to leave, I want to leave. Meanwhile, before they were saying, this is my house. How many of you have seen it before? Demonized people. You want to cast them, they say, this is my house. Fire has not come. When fire comes, they will say, I want to leave. At that time, stand and say, no, you are not leaving. We need to torment you for 5 minutes. I hope you know you can torment demons. As they can, you can torment demons. The demon told you, why are you here to torment us before the time? That means you can torment them there. Fire! When you pray, you are changed. Huh? The reason why people don't understand this is because there is a distortion to the ministry of prayer. And people think prayer is all about getting things. They won't know that prayer is an avenue that God has to administrate himself into you. So when you get into depth in prayer, one of the things you notice, and which is the reason why we have not started praying here until we have struck a fountain, a chord, we have gained ascendance in the spirit. The chambers of our soul have aligned to the frequency of the spirit under the government of the Holy Spirit, so that there will be a flow. Huh? There is nothing a man that has that is his own. Every good gift comes from above. See, it is from the Holy Ghost by the principle of the mingled dimension of our existence with him. What is happening? Hi! The Bible said he that is joined with Christ is one spirit with him. That means that the spirit dimension of a man and the Holy Spirit is mingled. I have taught you the mingled dimension. So what are all the things that are the possibilities of the spirit can be zapped into your spirit and then become something that you have trapped, something that you have become a custodian of, if you understand the principle of waiting on God. Actually, what it means to wait on God is to come to the point. The scripture said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as the eagles. They shall run. Now, that word wait, that word they shall renew, that word wait and renew means that, I have taught it before, when you get two handkerchiefs and then you tie the two handkerchiefs together. Are you with me? When you tie it together, the content of one enters the other and the content of the other enters. It is in the place of waiting that your weaknesses, the Holy Ghost begins to zap it away. Then his strength, he begins to minister it, because at that point your spirit is mingled with his spirit. This is why we need to fast sometimes, so that your soul will approximate to the activity that is happening in your Holy of Holies. Your Holy of Holies is your spirit man. That is where the Holy Ghost has released power. And the things that you have been praying, the realm that you have been desiring to enter into, sometimes it has become a potential reality locked up in your spirit. Yet the manifestation is not yet here, because the soul has encased it. And we will not see the manifestation of the things locked up in our spirit until there is a breaking of the outer man. And that is why sometimes we have to pray the way we pray. And you remember, I tell you people, pray till your soul is cracked. So what is the first lesson? The first lesson is what? The first lesson is what? Prayer travels inside of you before it travels outside. And the purpose of traveling inside is what? Say after me, transformation. If a man prays genuinely, leave him. Even if there are weaknesses and some things, after some time,
the kind of person the man will become will surprise you. The man can just go into a deep dimension of prayer and come out a whole new person. You don't know prayer. You don't know prayer. You don't know prayer. You don't know prayer. He can enter into that place and get so filled with the Holy Ghost that he will come out and become another man. That is why the apostles, they don't joke with prayer. The scripture said when they prayed again in the book of Acts chapter 4 verse 23, they said the room shook and they were filled with the Holy Ghost once again. And then they stepped out, said, with great power. Men that they persecuted and they flogged them, they were afraid and they ran into their company. Everybody was hiding inside the room. Then when they prayed, something happened. In that prayer meeting, fear left. The scripture said, with boldness. Boldness is not motivational. There is all those things they taught you in motivational speaking. If you come and stand on the stage, you know, there is a way. Look at the eyes of the people. Talk to them. Go to this side. There is a way they teach stage management. I didn't learn stage management to preach. The Holy Ghost came in the place of prayer and then imparted boldness, courage. Once I enter the place, all the demons and the devil, all the people, they will be like this. Some people have even wondered sometimes whether is he pride or no, I'm not the one. When I finish, you will now notice I'm not normal. There is something working. It has the capacity, and when you stay there long enough, it will become your day-to-day character. After some seasons, I notice I'm now a lion. I appeared during my father's burial. They told me that they are doing all kinds of things, discussing all kinds of things. Once I walk in to where they are doing that meeting, everybody will be silent. Say anything. No. I just walked in. All those women now, all those things they are doing, you have to be like this. You must. Once I walk in, all of them will be silent. Oh! My uncle came and said, is it not the small child we know? He doesn't know there is something we are carrying. A test! There is something we are carrying. It's prayer. That's where we are changed. We behold the glory from one layer. By the time you come next 3 months, it will become obvious that I have changed realm. As I told you people, I have never remained in the same realm, the same level. In more than 3 months since I began to, since 2014 January, I've never. You can't meet me at the same level in the next 3 months. Try it. Go, come back next 3 months. Some people come and tell you, I'm an angry person. I'm somebody that I'm withdrawn. You have not prayed enough. When you pray enough, you are able to accommodate the dimensions of the spirit. It will be worked into you. Many things we know in our head that have not entered our heart. So how does the things in your head enter your heart? Say prayer. That's how. That's how it is transformed, translocated, translated from your head into your heart. And when it becomes a component part of your heart, remember I told you yesterday that your heart is the seat of your personality. Are you with me? If something enters your heart, you begin to live there subconsciously. How many of you before, if something bad wants to happen to you, is it Jesus you used to shout? Is it not mommy? What do you used to shout? From when you were small. How many of you now? Mommy, Mo, you did it. The way I'm looking at you. You know why? In your own subconscious. They might even tell you, shout Jesus, shout Jesus. But when something hard happens to you, you come on me. Come on. Because that is your rock of defense in the days of trouble is your mother. Your tower of defense in the day of trouble is, it is in your subconscious. This is why the scripture said these people, they have me on their lips, they don't have me in their heart. And many people hear it and think it's about the people in the scripture. They don't know they are speaking about themselves.
that there are many things we know about God that have not entered into our heart. It is through prayer that we translate those things on our head to our heart. Are you with me? So when you stay in prayer long enough, even if you don't have prayer points, the scripture says, I'm building up yourselves in your most holy faith. What? Praying in the Holy Ghost. That means there is a concern. Once you come and pray the way we are praying, you have just come to the construction site and the Holy Ghost begins to work. One layer, one block after another. You know, sometimes when they start building, everywhere will be scattered. Give it 3 months. Then you will see the building take shape. And people will say, this building is beautiful. They were not aware when they were digging foundation. In the days of foundation, there is nothing seen in sight. In the days of foundation, the works of the Holy Spirit is hidden from sight. So people cannot easily attest to the fact that you are making progress in your spiritual adventure. It is until we leave foundation and then we come and the bricks and the blocks are climbing. Then we see a boulder. And then we say, you see, massive God is working in this life. It is when they knew. The days we are groaning, things are changing, things are living, things are being built. You have been molded into a different kind of man. A day will appear, you will look behind and look forward and see that you have suddenly become another kind of person. So when you are praying, even though you are praying for something, something is happening. That's why when we come, we travel. You must travel. Travel to the location in the spirit where your daily transformation is domiciled. When you enter there, then there will be administration. When you receive of the meat of God, then you become like the one that you ate his portion. That is how God intended us to be molded, to be transformed into the image of the one that we have been created after. You need to come there. And it's only by genuine prayer. When men travel there consistently, sometimes you stay there, sometimes you pray, you notice, you sense in your heart that there is a work that the Holy Ghost is doing. That is not the time to leave. That is not the time to say, I'll pray 2 hours. I'll pray my 2 hours quota in the night. Today that I pray 2 hours, so hey, thank you, Jesus. But you sense there is a work. The Holy Ghost is saying, today that we caught miracle here today, let's keep her here. We don't catch you all the time, but today we caught you. Is this not true? Sometimes the Holy Ghost catches you in a place and you will notice it. Those days he will keep you. Stop. Throw away your watch. Stay there. That kind of work. Some people ask, why do you need to pray for 10 hours when is God wicked? These are the people that have summarized prayer as an adventure to get things for themselves. All they know about prayer is selfishness. On that basis, you will think that 1 hour prayer is too much. But when you go beyond the things that prayer can do outside and what is doing inside, you and your eyes is open, you will know that there is a construction, that is a building. And in that context, it will take a process. It is prayer that initiates processes of building inside of you. So you stay there. Sometimes you notice that God is working on something in your life, and prayer has afforded him an avenue to begin to deal with that. Fear have to leave. And if it is true, you have to stay more in the place of prayer. And then when you begin to pray, something is being worked inside of you. After some season, you notice that the fear is abating and something else is coming. You did not even remember when you prayed for it specifically, but it happened. Amen. Number one is what? That's the first lesson. Number two lesson is, prayer does not ascend as words, but as incense. Matthew chapter 6. We have many lessons. The Holy Spirit will help us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 to 8. Luke chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3 to 4. Let's see Matthew. Watch. Are you with me? If you are with me, say amen. Verse 7. And in praying, when ye pray, use not what? Vain repetitions. Now, my focus now is on that word, vain repetitions. What is vain repetitions? It's vain repetitions that you are saying, blood of Jesus, cover me. Blood of Jesus, cover me. Seven, blood of Jesus, what? One, two, three, blood of Jesus, what? Is that what is vain repetition?
I need to tell you that sometimes you need to say, you can say blood of Jesus 7 times and it is prayer and it is correct.
I hope you know.
So what is really vain repetition? Is it that you are repeating yourself? Is vain repetition repeating yourself? EHE. So what is vain repetition? Vain repetition is assuming prayer is a result of what you are saying in your mouth. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they should be heard for their what? Much speaking. So the key word here is the more you speak, you will be heard. It is not repetition is not saying Jesus often. Repetition is just talking and thinking that your talking is what makes it prayer. So you see some of your elders in some of your Orthodox and big churches in some of the places, when they start, they say, Father our God, the omniscient one, the one that is good, that created all the earth, we your children have come and we have humbled ourselves before you. We are nothing. And then as they are saying it, I want to ask you, does that thing make it prayer? The scripture called that thing vain repetition, because they think that their prayer can be answered just because of the way their language, their lingo is sounding. Because their grammatical construction is very correct, that's why they should be heard. They are a vain repeater. Are you with me? Just because you said something nice. You know, these things are complex. The reason why they are complex is because God himself have to test the content of prayer. So that many times you come and pray and what you have prayed for, is not even what you need. Sometimes you pray and what you're praying for is it's not with the correct language. A man of God came and he was casting a demon. How many of you have heard me say that thing? And the man of God looked at a demonized person and said, I cast me out in the name of Jesus. Can you imagine? I cast me out. Guess what? The demon left. Why? Because what demons here is not English language. It's spirit language. Spirit language. The same thing, what God hears is not English language. It is spirit language. And this kind of spirit language is incense. That is how it arises. And I need to tell you, by the time you get to the book of Revelation, you will find out that many incense is not complete with the spices that is needed for you to measure up to where God will send feedback. So many times when you pray, there is need for God to add many things in your prayer for you to be complete. Because sometimes when you pray, it will mean that this your prayer cannot be answered until the motive, are you with me? The motive is correct. In that instance, motive is a spice to be added to that incense, but it is not there. Are you with me? Oh, so when you begin to pray, I will get to that place. I will show you the structures of prayer. That is another part. So when you begin to pray and you are hooked up to the frequency of God, then everything you are saying is correct. The Holy Ghost will make sure it's correct, because you are praying from him, you are praying through him, you are praying by him. Are you with me? So a man can pray for long and what he has been saying is correct. He can list all the troubles in your family, and every day you are praying for the same thing in your family. The Bible is saying you are doing vain repetition, because you have not cared to travel into the heart of God to find out what was his body. Are you with me? And then the way you are presenting it and the reason for which you are presenting it is all wrong. And in that instance, it will mean that you are a vain repeater. You are a man that have not cared what God thinks about prayer and what God thinks about praying. And what God thinks about you even. Are you with me? Luke chapter 1 verse 9. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense. I don't want to go there. How many of you are kings and priests? Raise your hand. You are kings and priests. Raise your hand. There are people that don't know who they are. Who are you? Huh? If you know and you understand by the scripture that you are kings and priests, raise your hand. Be bold. Glory. Say after me, glory. Why is it that believers like lazy things? They like to claim, name and claim. But when you bring responsibility, they run. For everything that you gained in Christ free, there is a responsibility in it. Either to keep it, or to administrate it. So if God gives you something, it is free. You got it free in Christ. But there is responsibility to keep what you got. And that is what people don't, they don't like it. They want it to be God's responsibility to give, and God's responsibility to fire it up, and God's responsibility to nurture, to grow it. But the commandment that God gave Adam is to tend the garden and to what? Keep it. The garden is a representation. What does the garden of Eden mean? When you are given an environment that sustains and supports your existence, what is the environment that supports the existence of the new creature in Christ Jesus? What is the environment? What? Life. Correct. So that is the environment. So what Eden? Eden is an environment of life. It's an environment of life. So as long as Adam continues to interact with the things in Eden, he doesn't need anything outside of Eden. You don't need anything in, when you are in Christ, you don't need anything outside of life. So you are brought in Christ Jesus so that every single thing you need is there. It is already installed in their life. The problem now is that many believers are lazy to work on that so that it will mature. Mature to the point where it will benefit them and benefit others. So Adam left that garden open and serpent entered. The same garden that God told him to dress and keep. Are you with me? If you are with me, say amen. Now that is not where I'm going. Where I'm going is this. For every believer, there is a commandment that is resting upon your life. Now, it is by God's choosing. It is an act of his will to bring you into the priestly office. Are you with me? And the kingly office. That is the quota that came upon our life as a result of the fact that we have been drawn away from the priesthood that is of the natural order. That is of the Adamic order. And we are now inducted into an eternal priesthood. The priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. And the functioning power, the principle of the oppression of the priesthood after the order of Melchizedek is the endless life. That is what makes it different from the other priesthood. It is a priesthood of life. So if a man appears before the office to administrate his duties, and then in the administration of his duties, there is no life engaged and there is no life administered, he doesn't yet know the demands of his office. Your office begins to function in the new creation when you understand the protocols of life, because the power of the new priesthood is what? Life. He said, after the order of what? Endless life. It is a priesthood that continues. Not necessarily because it will continue in the next 1,000 years. It continues. It tarries because of the frame, the frame of reference that supports the activities and the ministries that take place here. If you are you with me? If you are praying under that priesthood, your prayer is beyond now. That is what I'm trying to tell you. But when you pray in the other priesthood, it is all about now and here. But when you pray in the other one, guess what? You are able to travel. And you are here, but you are affecting both eternity and time. In the Melchizedek order, you can affect things in the age to come. I don't want to go to that place. Power of the age to come. Show me the Father. Teach me his ways. I wanna know you, Holy Ghost. You are Holy Ghost. You are Holy Ghost. You are Holy Ghost. Scepter of the living God. You are Holy Ghost. You are Holy Ghost. You are Holy Ghost. Power of the age to come. Now he says, show me the Father, please. Teach me his ways. Yes. I want to know you, Holy Ghost. My main focus is that phrase, power of the age to come. That means when a man interacts with the Holy Ghost and by the Holy Spirit, you are not just able to affect things now, you are able to affect things even in the age to what? Come. Because even in the age to come, the system, all the systems of the age to come is powered by the Spirit. Are you with me? And that is the same Spirit that powers our priesthood. That is why here you have not really prayed until the Holy Ghost has helped you. You know, yesterday we prayed well, but today we come. Help us, help us. Help me, Holy Ghost. Because if your prayer will matter, will strike chord in eternity, then he has to help you. Helping you is not just about the fact that you are quickened to pray. Maybe you now receive prayer power. No. Helping you is beyond enabling you to pray. Helping you is a cry of help such that you will be able to touch eternal matters even when you are praying. It's not about receiving results. It's about the fact that when you are praying, you are ferried by the Holy Ghost through your prayer to touch eternal and divine matters. Are you with me? So you are able to affect eternal things even from your prayer. There are records that are born about your priesthood, my brother. Your priesthood is not wasted. I will yet show you another lesson. Such that when you appear before God, that's why when we appear before God, many people will be ashamed because their priesthood is weak. You are reckoned among the mortals based on the strength of your priesthood, not activities. Many of the things people call ministry is the use of their gift. All the things they are doing, calling it ministry, is just administration of gifts. That is why it is what is called. It is called gifts because you did not labor into any. But if you will want to immortalize the things that the Holy Ghost is doing, both in time and in time, you have to give yourself to priesthood, and then from priesthood you write your names in books eternal. When you appear there, they will write your name. Jasper, son of Jidechukwu, one of the mighty men that rose in the last days, and he stood and he fought for God. I know you in the city where you are. It is the headquarters of Satan, but you preserved your faith. Even you will be surprised. When did they bear all this record about me? Is your priesthood. They said, by your priesthood, the war in Iraq was diluted. By your priesthood, the war in the north was that. You said, but I didn't remember when I prayed for it. It is because it takes only the mortals to take record of the impact of your priesthood. Sometimes your finite mind cannot capture all of them. That is why many times the Holy Ghost have to suspend your mind and then you journey in the Spirit. When you journey in the Spirit, He can arrest matters in time and in eternity. It is from there that records are born for you. That is how to write and immortalize your name. Priesthood, prayer. Watch. The scripture said, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot. I have just 40 minutes to show you at least 3 more lessons. He said, according to the custom of the priest's office, if you are in the priest's office, what is your custom? I didn't hear you. If you are in the priest's office, what is your custom? Somebody get mine for this, my sister. Let's find out. If you are in the priest's office, what is your custom? Give the sister beside you. Oh, your joy, save her.
Burn incense.
Let's echo it again. 1, 2, ready, go. I didn't hear you. Let's echo it. Some people are not saying it. Let's hear you. Let's shout it. Your lot. You don't have
I don't care. Many people say they are kings and priests, they are pastors, they are everything. I don't know what they are doing. The fundamental demand on your life as a priest is to do what? Burn incense. Burn any other thing you are doing. That's why many people, they come and organize program, they come and organize birthday batch, worship experience, a hurry, praise concert. There are people that even organize the revival meeting. The name of the meeting is revival fire. Huh? And you come there, somebody will be talking like somebody that God will help us in Jesus' name. It's after me, God help me in Jesus' name. As a priest, what is your daily business? That man is not looking for answer to prayer. Because as of the time, this is Zachariah, as of the time he's burning incense, his wife is still barren. His wife is still barren, but every day he rises up to what? Burn incense. If you have money, what do you do? Burn incense. If you don't have money, what do you do? Burn incense. If you are sick, what do you do? If you are healthy, what do you do? I'm not hearing you. If you are afflicted, what do you do? What if you are anointed? You are now anointed. If you are anointed, what do you do? What if you are loaded with the power of God? What do you do? What if you raise 5 cripples? What do you do? Jesus left a miracle crusade where the scripture recorded that he healed everyone. What is the next thing he did? He went inside to burn incense. He's not looking for anything. Some of you think he's still looking for power. He's no more power. He needed to burn incense. The lot of the priest is the what? As a custom. If you have not understood that prayer is customary, that is another lesson. Prayer is regimented and customary. If it is true that you will achieve the purposes of God. Amen. Watch. If you will be able to execute prayer properly in context with the demand of your priestly office, then you must understand that the prayer adventure is both customary and regimented. It is both what? Customary and regimented. So some people come and tell me, I don't feel like praying today. No. It is not a product of feeling. It is a custom. Say after me, custom. There are many customs in your village that you don't feel like, but you still do it. You don't do it because you feel like. You do it because it is what? Custom. And if it is customary, it is demanded of you. It is expected of you. Irrespective of how you feel that day. Don't you wake up and you don't feel like praying? You don't understand custom. The custom of the kingdom. It is a custom. Another word is culture. It is a culture of the kingdom to pray. It is not something that happens as a result of your feeling. It is something that happens as a result of your understanding of the demands that is placed upon your life because of the fact that you are inducted into a holy priesthood by being born again. So when you enter there, prayer is no more something you do when you have a need. What you do when there is problem, you pray 2 hours when there is challenge and pray 15 minutes when there is nothing. You don't understand that prayer is customary. And as long as you woke up in a day, you pray because it is the custom of the kingdom, the nation that you have been inducted into. Whether there is need or not, there is always need. Probably not your need, but there is a need. The king is always in need of men. He's always in need of incense to administrate his kingdom, his affairs. Without incense rising, there will be no thundering. There will be no feedback upon the plains of the earth. It is only when incense rise that there will be feedback. According to the account that was in the book of Revelation, he said when the prayers of the saints rose like incense, the fire full of the odors of the prayers of the saints, starting incense, something was added upon it. And then when it was brought upon the altar that is in heaven, feedback came, thunder.
Let's see verse 10. Watch. You are not watching. Let's read verse 9 and then read verse 10. Watch. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to what? Burn incense when he went to the temple of the Lord. Now, so he is inside the temple of the Lord doing what? In case somebody is doubting what burning incense is, look at verse 10. So, look at verse 10. He said, and the whole multitude of the people were what? I didn't hear you. We are what? We doubt at the time of what? So, what do you do at the time of incense? I didn't hear you. What do you do? At the time of incense, all the people, they were there, what? Praying. What I'm trying to show you here is what I said before. That prayer doesn't necessarily ascend as words. It ascends as incense. So in the time of prayer, make sure incense is rising. Huh? Because what God picks and responds to is incense. Let me show you one more scripture and then we leave this lesson. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. How many of you know what is a censer? You have been an altar boy before. Raise your hand. You know what is censer now? Who holds that censer self? I was not a Catholic, so it's my mother that was a Catholic. You saw the way she was responding yesterday. Were you a Catholic before? Let me look for people their head. Somebody will think I'm against Catholic. No, you are missing the point. Majority of our people here, you saw when they raised their hand. Majority of our people here are what? Yes. I don't even like Pentecostals. I'm one, but I don't like them. No, be so. Check yourself before. You always assume you know. Meanwhile, you don't know. That's their problem. They always assume they know. They are foolish people everywhere. Because there are many churches and branch churches everywhere. Majority of the people are either children of elders or children of pastors. They are the thieves. I'm robbers. That's all of them. So, and they are carrying Bible. They have learned how to quote Bible and do many things and pray. And say the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. Me, I know, and that's where I came from. Don't be so. They are thieves. And because of the fact that they are used to sacred things, after some time they will lose their reverence for sacred things. Have you not noticed that there is an acute irreverence for sacred things amongst Pentecostals? Some of them even joke with tongues, they joke with fasting, they joke with giving, they joke with everything. But if you tell a Catholic, he will argue with you on speaking in tongues. But when he speaks in tongues, he will hold it here in his heart. He will never joke with it. Are you with me, Is it not true? Majority of the people here are Catholics. No, be so. So, you are my guys. I'm not. We are going to bring fire into the Catholic Church. I cannot. We saw it. Fire. Fire is coming. Fire. They are not forgotten. God is waiting for them. Fire is coming there. Since Pentecostals have refused to do something with their fire, they will collect it and give to the people. Give to people that are hungry. Some of the time, I used to think people hate God. They don't want God. They are arguing. They are persecuting you. It's a lie. There are encounters they will have. Huh? Even their bishop will speak in tongues. How many of you have heard of men like St. Francis of Assisi? Huh? All those people are Catholics. Oh. St. Patrick of Ireland, all of them are Catholics. I hope you know. All those people you heard about the mighty thing, they were Catholics. Just that many of them might not be Roman Catholics, but they are Catholics anyway. I don't want to go into that history. You know, some of us, we are students of church history. I took time. Let's leave that.
Amen. Oh, amen. Oh.
So the reason why I raised this issue is that the Catholics are conversant with the censor.
Is it not? Were you a Catholic? Who is a Catholic? You are one. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand.
I want somebody in my front. Uh-huh. You are looking like somebody that did it well.
You know censor now? Huh? That thing you'll be doing like this, and then smoke will be coming out from you. Hey!
That incense, that smoke coming out is supposed to represent your prayer.
So instead of these people praying, they will be saying, in the name of the person who is to come, and they will be doing it like this, and smoke will be coming out. Satan will be, I don't want to say what I want to say so that I will not get some people angry. Huh? Okay, it's not Catholics that I'm talking about. I'm talking about some people. Huh? Do you know Satan can be smoking in that kind of environment? Ademoro soso balaha. There is something I want to say, but you know it. Huh? The kind things where they anemoros. Anyway, it's happening everywhere anyway, so that's it. What I'm trying to say is that physical one is not what we're talking about, but I'm using the physical one to show you what is really happening. Huh? Now, the scripture said, and the angel came and stood at the altar. There are encounters you can only have by the altar side. Genuine heavy encounters can only be given, can only be experienced by the altar side. Huh? Not in the beer parlor, not in the marketplace. Elijah Yog. It's me and you. God sent for heaven. We want to help this man, and then he sent me. The problem is that the way I'm helping you, you know, it's not good to your flesh. I don't care. I don't like you. This you. The one I like is in the future. Amen. There are some encounters you can't have in Nkwo. Huh? You are beating the prize. Nego neki ne lenka. Even now, the last prize, yeah. No. No, there are encounters you can't have there. You can only have it by the altar side. Huh? And some people even lie. They will tell you, what I bought this thing is 1,006. And I'm selling it for you 1,500. It's because you are the one. Because you are Father Christmas, that's why you are selling for 1,005. Oh, ye businessmen, repent in the name of Jesus. He said, "In about lost 100 naira, not even earlier." The only thing remaining is for them to carry gun, and they are lying. The way they are lying. And they lie. You know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. You know, you have been there since they gave birth to you. This thing I'm saying, is it not true? When you know, we never go see me see. Under a buche. Hey. How much did you make? Did how much poor advances? Sorry, oh. If you don't understand Igbo language, I apologize. You know, there are some words in the scripture that they didn't write in English. Like, there is one they call Akeldema. Eh? There is a reason why they left it like that. You are the one that changed it, but they didn't change it. The name is what? Akeldema. There is a word that is called Maranatha. No, be so. They left it like that. It's not an English word. Because if you change it, it will lose the weight.
Say after me, Maranatha.
See the weight he's carrying. Do you know the meaning of Maranatha? If I tell you the meaning, it's not that heavy. Okay, back to what we are saying. There are some encounters that can only take place at the altar side. He said, an angel came having a golden censer, and there was given unto him what? Much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon what? The golden altar, which was before the throne. See, prayer ascends as incense. It doesn't leave your mouth. Huh? It leaves your heart. Do you know why? Some people can be saying, Jesus, I love you, I love you. But in their heart, they are saying, Are you with me? I hope you know some people will be saying, you are blessed in the name of Jesus. And in their heart, they are saying, come and carry blessing. Let me see. Now, are you with me? You now see why God has to take it from your heart, not your mouth. For many reasons. He has to take it from where? Your heart, not your mouth. And sometimes you will have something to communicate in prayer, but your language, your lingo, is not strong enough to convey the things that is captured in your heart. Is it not true? But yet, you know, your mouth is not communicating it, but you know that your heart is communicating it. How many of you have felt like that before? Your mouth is not actually saying what you meant, but you know that your heart is saying it. That means the man that is taking and answering prayer and responding to prayer has to pick the prayer not from your mouth, but from where? Your heart. That is where. Are you with me? Now, there are two thrones and there are two altars. There are two major altars in the universe. Now, there is an altar in heaven. There is a throne in heaven. There is also a throne on earth. And there is an altar on earth. Where is that throne? Where is that throne? Let me. Good. Where is that altar? Yes. As a matter of fact, according to the layout of the tabernacle, the heavenly one, the altar directly faces the throne, so that the activities of the throne is manipulated by what is going on the altar. The one on the throne does not act until he sees what is happening within the altar. It is from the activities on the altar that he begins to administrate. That means, if it is true, then priesthood is king, because priesthood manipulates what kingship is doing. Are you getting the point? It is from priesthood that kingship gains the emphasis, the impetus. It is from priesthood that he now sees that this is what we need to do. Are you with me? So he looks at some place in the book of Revelation. He said, this cry is the cry of the saints that are saying, Avengers. So the throne will not do anything but to respond to the cries that is coming up from the altar. And the cries of the altar is what? Avenge. So people can pray with the wrong motive. That's why God has to pick it from the heart. People can pray without the measure of lingo. That's why God has to what? Pick it from the heart. Okay, let me ask you. How many of you? Something has happened sometime, and you are not even able to open your mouth, and you were praying in your heart. How many of you have done it before? You prayed something in your heart and it happened. I mean, the people that prayed and it happened, not just raise your hand now. Where are you? You have not done it before. Somebody is before you and you pray in your heart. Let this man not ask me any question. Let this man not ask. Meanwhile, you are greeting the person. How are you? But you are saying in your heart, hey, let this person go, Jesus. Let this person go and not disturb me. Let me continue in my prayer. Let me come. And you are saying, how are you? Especially ladies. Nalayo. Nalayo. What they are saying in their heart, this one that has started ascending, that's when this person came. Father, send now. Send now. Send now. Send now. This is what you are doing in your heart. Send now. Send now. But physically you are doing, how are you? I've missed you. Don't believe everything you have heard. They didn't miss you anything. That is why somebody like Isaac have to tell his go and get venison for me. Because the blessing is not in the mouth. The blessing is here. Am I saying that words are not important? No. Words become powerful when they convey the matters of the heart. If words cannot convey the matters of the heart, they are just vain repetition. Are you getting the point? That is why correct prayer has to be in the spirit. When you pray in the spirit, not necessarily in tongues. But when you pray in the spirit, even if it's with understanding, you are conveying the matters of the heart correctly. At that point, even though you are using words, it is prayer and it is correct. Are you with me? Oh, you can actually pray in tongues. I don't want to. Have you learned something today? Say thank you, Jesus. We are in number what lesson now? I think it's 4. So we are entering 4. Number 4 is prayer is a spirit and spiritual experience. Prayer is what? A spirit, but not just a spirit, and a spiritual experience. Somebody give mic to Ihechi. Let's know the difference between something being spirit and spiritual. Yes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Okay. I think something being spirit has to do with person. And there's something being spiritual has to do with a location and a realm.
Is he correct?
Coming from a spirit.
Is he correct? Is he correct? So they didn't answer. That means you are not correct. So I can ask any other person because they say you are not correct. Come and give Emmanuel Elijah, the CEO, President, Emmanuel Mandate International.
President, when we say prayer is a spirit,
I didn't say prayer is a spirit. I said, what do we mean when we say a matter is spirit or spiritual?
A matter is spirit because you have encountered the reality of the matter itself. Why we can say something is spiritual because of the dimension, the plane the thing operates in. It's not in this realm. So we can say it is spiritual because of the plane it operates. We can say it's spirit because of its nature.
Is he correct? Between the first answer and the second one, which one is closer? If you are for the first one, raise your hand. If you are for the second one, raise your hand. You are not for the two. Raise your hand. Give this lady mic. She is not anywhere. Where are you? Are you here or here? Give her mic. Since you are not anywhere, that means you have answer. The second one. So what is the second one? You will not escape. You will not. Remember, you said you are for the first and second. So I'm going to ask you what they said in the first and the second. How can you say you are for these people? You don't know what these people stand for. Amen. How can you say you are for these people and you don't know what they stand for? Okay.
From what you said.
Because I know you now. You have almost finished reading the New Testament in the last 1 month. So you must have gathered all the information you need.
From what you said. I say that the spirit, when you say that the matter is a spirit, is the nature, like the personality.
The first person said personality, no be so. The second person said nature, no be so. You people want to take me back, because it will mean that I will start teaching on spirit and spiritual. If something is not spiritual, then it is what? Let's do worse and opposite. Miracle occur for you. If something is not spiritual, is what? Huh? Is it physical or natural? Which one? I want to ask, if something is not spiritual, is it physical or natural? Huh? Wait. If something is not spiritual, it is. If you say it is physical, raise your hand. If you say it's natural, raise your hand. All these people that don't raise hand, come and give this sister mic. Where are you? Huh? If you say something is not spiritual, it's word and opposite. Is it not true? Okay, what is the opposite of spiritual? Physical. What is the opposite of natural? Huh? What's your answer? Come and give my sister Chidimma. She want to excavate from her compendium of archival knowledge. Give her the mic. Answer now.
Natural.
The opposite of spiritual is natural. Is actually correct. The opposite of spiritual is not physical. The opposite of spiritual is what? Yes. That's how many that's, this is a proof that many of you are weak in your spiritual adventure. When you pray, is it not spiritual? But you are doing it in the physical realm. You are doing it physically, is it not true? Even though you are doing it physically, it is a spiritual thing. It is a spiritual adventure. Are you getting the point? You can also do it physically, and it is a natural adventure. Is it not true? Did you not see the example I gave? Let me tell you what I mean. Eh? Spiritual things can be done in the physical. Are you getting the point? So it's not about the physical. The same way spiritual things can be done in the physical, natural things can be done in the physical. Huh? Give me an example of a spiritual thing that is done in the physical. Prayer. Are you with me? So you are doing prayer, it is a spiritual thing, but it is done in the physical realm. Then, because it is done physically, does not necessarily mean it is not spiritual. Just like somebody can come and, which doctor can come and blow powder. I want to ask, what is powder? Is it not physical activity? I mean, is it not done in the physical realm? But it is actually a physical, spiritual activity. Such that if he blows that in, something will start happening to you. Some of the time, we come and say, I caught you in the name of Jesus in prayer. Guess what? Something will actually be caught. I thought it is done in the physical. Just because it is done in the physical doesn't mean it is physical. It is spiritual. It is simply because it is done in this realm. As a matter of fact, in this realm dwells spirits. All kinds of beings dwell in this realm, and all kinds of activity happen in this realm. Angels come in this realm. Are they physical beings? Demons come here. Human beings come here. The advantage that the human beings come and have, and which is your confusion, is that at the same time you have the capacity to interact with the spiritual and with the physical. So if you want to do educational explanation, you can actually say that the opposite in your sociology class, the opposite of spiritual is physical. But in spiritual things, the opposite of... That's why your answer was actually, according to the scripture, the opposite of spiritual is natural. And why did it become natural? It was really because man fell into himself. So we have to have things that are natural. The intent of God is that even the physical realm, are you with me? Oh, the physical realm, the reason why we call it the physical realm is just the manifest realm. Huh? The desire of God in creation is that even the manifest realm or the physical realm is still spiritual. Can you understand this thing I'm saying? Let me leave you since you are not understanding. The desire of God, which is why in the cool of the evening, are you with me? He can walk into the garden and is not limited. The reason is that even the physical realm that Adam had is spiritual, such that God can walk into it and it will host his ambience. Are you with me? I will have to stop here even if you are not with me. Because it will distract me a lot. You have already shifted me a little. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1 to 6. Verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of what? Divine service. And a worldly sanctuary. Verse 2. For there was a tabernacle made the first, wherein was what? Please pay attention to the things that are listed. I will show you something very quickly. If you don't pay attention, you miss me. Very deep matters. And the table and the shew bread, which is called what? Mark the things that I said. Go back. For there was what? A tabernacle. Underline tabernacle. Therein. Okay. Tabernacle made the first. Wherein was the candlestick and the table. And the shew bread, which is called what? I didn't hear you. Which is called what? Okay, the next verse. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called what? Watch. Which had what? The golden censer. And the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that what? And the tables of what? We are in verse what now? Let's see 6. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into what? Accomplishing the service of God. Let's see Leviticus chapter 16, verse 11 to compare notes. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the what? Which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. There are two things that is obvious here. That these activities are taking place in different realms. Now, you need to understand this. Follow me. Sister Scars, are you with me? Remember where we started in the book of Hebrews? An explanation was made about the whole layout of the tabernacle. You heard when I told you to underline the tabernacle. Are you with me? They began to show us that according to the layout of the tabernacle, there are three compartments. The first compartment is called what? The outer court. The second compartment is the holy place. The third compartment is the holiest of all. Are you even following me? Jesus help. Let's pray in tongues for 1 minute. 1 minute. 1 minute. You need to hear this, Jesus. Your spirit need to hear this. Your mind need to assimilate this. A profound statement I want to make now to buttress this lesson by saying that prayer is both a spirit and a spiritual experience is a statement that I've been making often and on, that the customary part of prayer for the believer is prayer in the spirit by the spirit. Have you heard me say it before? Prayer in the spirit, by the spirit, or with the spirit. What does it mean? It means that prayer is first of all in the spirit and can also be by what? By the spirit. Now the fundamental demand is that prayer is in the spirit. Now what it means for a prayer to be in the spirit is that it is in a particular environment, a realm. The scripture said in the book of John, chapter 4, he said that God is what? I didn't hear you. God is what? Spirit. And they that worship him, we do so. How? So for you to worship, for you to engage the facilities of priesthood or prayer, it has to fundamentally be in a realm. And that realm is called what? Spirit. The reason why it has to be in that realm is because that is the realm that captures the personality of prayer. Are you with me? And as my brother told us yesterday, that there is a personality of prayer. The personality of prayer is what? Somebody give that my sister with green handkerchief a mic. She has said, Holy Spirit, let's leave her. So the personality of prayer is what? The Holy Ghost. In case you are doubting, why not show us the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 26. The scripture said there, for we know not, likewise the spirit also what? Helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought to, but the spirit itself maketh intercession for us. The spirit, who does the intercession? Who is doing it? Are you the one? So there is a personality of prayer for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. In case you still doubt this statement, let's see the next verse. The next verse. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the spirit, because he maketh what? For the sense according to what? So when a man does prayer accurately, what did he do? He joined the spirit in his business. So prayer is spirit business. Are you getting the point? And the environment of that business is what? So that is what I'm trying to explain, but and you need to know this. It is a fundamental knowledge that must be imparted to you as a New Testament priest. This is one of the weaknesses of the old priesthood. This is the fundamental weakness of the old priesthood. Remember, the call upon the nation of Israel is to be a nation of priests unto me. Is it not true? That means the demand upon that nation is priesthood. Yet they, when God called them up to the layer, the plane where their ordination will be activated, and when their ordination will be lived out, they chickened out, they stayed behind. It was only Moses that went in to that place. Are you with me? That is the place where you see the personality of prayer, and that is the place where the environment of prayer is captured. Are you with me? That is where you can actually say you are making prayer. So, did you understand this? Then let me show you. Go back to the book of Leviticus. Is it Leviticus? Huh? And Aaron shall bring the bullock of his sin offering. Now watch. Are you watching? Huh? When you enter the priestly office, there are different measures in the priestly office. All of them are called priests. Huh? But in priesthood, there is Levites. Don't want to go deep. I know all of us, have you heard people say, all of us, we are believers. We have the Holy Ghost, I need to tell you, even though all of us are called fundamentally to the priestly ministry, all of us are not operating from the same dimension of office. If you come to the layout of the priestly ministry as it is captured by what was lived out by the life of Aaron, the Levites are in the outer court. That ministry they are doing from the outer court, what is it called? Say priesthood. There is a priesthood of the outer court. There is also a ministry taking place in the holiest, holy place. The name of the people there is called, they are called priests. There are many. Then there is another one taking place in the holiest of all. That one is only one man. When you appear in the holiest of all, you can only appear alone. And I will yet show you, according as what the scripture showed us in the book of Hebrews chapter 9. Show us Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1. Right. I'm trying to show you something. Oh, now watch verse 1. Then verily the first commandment had also, what? I didn't hear you. Are you seeing what this man is saying? He said the first commandment actually mirrors the dimension of the reality that we are seeking. Are you getting the point? That many of the things that happened in the first covenant and the activities of the office that Aaron and the priest delegated is actually a mirror of a dimension that is captured in the heavens of God. So what Aaron was doing is by all means possible to capture in their activities and in their ministry dimensions of God that is captured in heaven. Are you with me? So the man, by this particular statement, has drawn a line. And the line he drew is that the dimensions that Aaron mirrored is the dimension that Aaron engaged is a mirror of heaven. So if we can trace the antitype, if we can trace the reality in the activities that Aaron engaged in, we can see the reality that is captured in the spirit. So if there is priesthood in the outer court and there are priests in the outer court in the ministry of Aaron, are you with me? That means in reality, in New Testament priesthood, there is also priesthood in the outer court, and there are priests in the outer court. Are you with me? Then there is priesthood in the holy place, and there are priests in the holy place. If it is true in the time of Aaron, that means in the new covenant priesthood, there are also priests in the holy place, and there is priesthood in the holy place. If it is true that there is priesthood in the holiest of all and priests in the holiest of all, that means also that in the new covenant there is what? And that is what this first statement meant. Can you see it now? He said, verily, assuredly, the first covenant had also ordinances of what? Say after me, divine. What does it mean to be divine? It means that there is ordinances of God dimensions, God activity, God ministry, captured even in the things that Aaron is doing. So Aaron became a mirror, a type of the heavenly dimensions of the priestly ministry. God used him to reveal this dimension such that we can use the things that he's doing in the natural to mirror heavenly dimension. So my job here now, in the explanation of the fact that prayer is both spirit and spiritual experience, is to show you through the ministry of Aaron what is captured in the heavenly dimension of priesthood. Are you with me? So that what Aaron showed us by what is involved in the tabernacles and the priestly ministries of the tabernacles and the personalities of priesthood in the tabernacles is something that is mirrored in heaven. It is something that is mirrored in God. Actually, the right word is divine.
Are you with me? Because,
are you with me?
Divine means it is a little more comprehensive than heavenly. Because when we say heavenly, people only think about location. Huh? But when we say divine, it is specifically talking about nature. So after me, nature. When you say divine, it talks about what? When you say divine, it talks about what? So the heavenly nature, the God nature. Huh? There are ordinances of priesthood after the God nature, the divine nature. And the one that Aaron did actually mirrored those kind of things. But for we to understand the one that is divine, what do we need to do? We look at the one that is natural, the one that Aaron engaged. And by the revelation of the Spirit, if we can enter into the reality that is captured in the activities, the offices, and the structures of the activities that took place in the ministry that is natural, it will lend us an understanding towards the thing that is heavenly, where the real priesthood and tabernacle is domiciled. Are you with me? If you are with me, say amen. There is no believer that is a high priest. In the priestly ministry, there is only one high priest. Who is the high priest of our calling? Do you know the number one challenge in the time of Jesus? Huh? One of the greatest challenge, which is the reason why he came to the temple and scattered the people doing things there. He said, my father's house that ought to be the place of prayer has been turned to the den of thieves. Do you know why? The fundamental reason is that on that day, there were two high priests. Who are they? Annas and Caiaphas. You can only have one high priest. Satan came on that day and violated the divine order and elected two high priests. That is why if you are in a religion or any place that tell you that there is another means to get to God, you have erected another system representing the days of Annas and Caiaphas. There are people that say, na. No, be so. You know what it means. I don't want to call their name. Let me sing it in Igbo language. Where is Ugochukwu? Na. If you are wise, you already know what I'm saying. No, be so. If you don't understand, thank God you did not. Thank God it's intentional that you don't. Na. So that is an attempt to show us that there is a are you with me? The danger with that thing is that in the same system, they are trying to erect two high priests. So at some point they will say, if it's through Jesus, it works. If it's through this person, it works. It is the principle of the high priest. That is where the Jewish religion sunk to. Judaism sunk to in the time of Jesus. So Jesus came and kicked everything out. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father. He said, by what? Watch. Let me get back to what I'm teaching. Get back to the book of Leviticus. Get back. Watch. So, there are three compartments in the tabernacle. The first compartment is what? I'm not hearing you. Is what? The second one is what? The third one is what? The name of the person doing his services in the outer court is what? In the holy place is called? In the holiest of all, it's called what? Correct. Let's clap for ourselves. I will buy you something. I will buy you pure water. Somebody said ice cream. I will buy you pure water. Huh?
So thank God, if you have made this progress, then I can teach. I can just strike and then I will go. Are you getting me? That thing that is captured in the tabernacle. Why not show me something? Huh? Show me. I help me and locate it. Where the Bible said you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Find it. Find it. Find it. Where? 1 Corinthians what? 3:19. Right? What? 6 what? 6:19. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Both the first and second is wrong. He said, know ye not that ye are what? I'm not hearing. Let's read it together. One, two, ready, go. So that temple, remember the temple represents the tabernacle. Are you with me? That temple that used to be a physical dimension has now been transferred to the reality. There is a scripture my brother read in the book of Isaiah. Is it 60 or 66? 66. He said, what house do you build for me? Where heaven is my throne and the earth is what? The desire of God is to dwell in man. Are you getting the point? So, man is both the dwelling place of God and the temple of the Holy Spirit. That means the man is a house of incense. That is, it is on that platform that we said that man is a creature of prayer. Are you with me? You are created, your house is a house of prayer. It can't function maximally, correctly, until incense and prayer is going on there. Because it is a temple for a personality. And that personality is the personality of prayer, the Holy Ghost. Say, know ye not that your body is what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. That means you are housing divine dimension. Now watch, watch. Now man has three dimensions. The first one is what? The spirit, soul, and what? These three dimensions is representing the three dimensions of the tabernacle of Aaron, of Moses. Are you watching? Watch, watch. So the first tabernacle, the spirit dimension represents the holiest of all. Huh? The soulish dimension represents what? The holy place. And then the outer court represents your needs, the things that you need. That is why there is a priestly ministry taking place in there. Now, the challenge with this is that you can say, Jesus. He can say, Jesus. He can say, Jesus. As believers, the three of you are saying Jesus from different planes in the tabernacle. Are you with me, oh? That is why I said physical activity doesn't necessarily mean it is not spiritual. Spiritual things can take place in the physical realm. Physical here. Physical dimension. Huh? That is why some people can, three people can be praying. Should I tell you the truth? One is in a different plane. This one is in a different plane. This one is in, haven't you noticed? That you can be praying with somebody and you know the person you are praying with is already high. Meanwhile, by physical look at what you are doing Shabanda Bala, Shabanda Mankota. Huh? Rabababababa Kuli. Kuli Masuta. Kuli Masanda. Even by your tongues, we cannot differentiate where you are. Are you with me? So I can say, Jesus! And he's the outer court. And then people are healed. I can say, Jesus! And he's the holy place. And anger leaves. Transformation comes to my heart and soul. It is the holy place. Huh? I can say, Jesus! And then the presence comes. And he's the holiest of all. The same Jesus. The three of them didn't mean the same thing. How many of you it has happened to you? There are days you say, Jesus. Jesus, you are not saying the same thing. Another time you say, in the name of Jesus Christ, receive your healing. It's outer court, even though you are shouting, my friend. In other place, you are saying, Jesus, help me. I can't help it. Take away this anger. Take away this pride. Take away. Where are you? Holy place. Then you enter another place. There is no words. You have even entered the unutterable dimension. Jesus. and tears are coming. Jesus. In that place you don't want to go. You begin to sing like the elders sang in the days past. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship, so you can worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence. Feasting at your table, Lord. Surrounded by your glory in your presence. That's where I always want to be. I just want to be. I just want to be with you. Let's sing it again. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence. Feasting at your table, Lord. Surrounded by your glory in your presence. That's where I always want to be. I just want to be. I just want to be. That means the same Jesus in the list of three people is operating in different dimensions of the tabernacle. Meanwhile, this tabernacle is no more external as it was in the days of Aaron. Are you with me? This tabernacle and temple, you are the one now. So depending on how intelligent you are in the operations of priesthood, you can operate from different dimensions and compartments of the tabernacle. Also depending on the need. Are you with me? Watch. The day that Peter appeared and spoke to Ananias and said, Ananias, why have you lied to the Holy Ghost? Meanwhile, Peter was the one standing there. What Ananias did not understand is that on that day, even though Peter heals the sick and his shadow can cast out devil, on that day, he was operating from the Holy of the Holies. And when the representatives of God stand from the Holy of Holies, their language will leave from second person representation to the first person representation. Even when Gabriel stands there, he will say, the Lord said. Meanwhile, it was an angel saying it. Because when you enter the holiest of all, your personality is merged with the personality of God. It is the place of communion and fellowship. It is the place of binding. The difference is taken away. The oneness is emphasized. It is in that place that you realize who you are in God, and God furnishes his dimension inside of you. You begin to experience the dimensions of life that you have been brought into. It is a realm of ecstasy, a realm of knowledge, experience, experiential dimension. Watch. Meanwhile, the man doing business in the outer court is still doing priesthood. So when we appear, someone like Elijah, we say, before the Lord God whom I stand. You say all of us are born again, we are praying the same. No, it is not. It's not about praying, it's about where Elijah is standing at that moment. It's only you that, like you now, come. As we are standing, watch. All of the two of us, we are standing at White House, Barnes Plaza. Where are you standing? Where am I standing? Just because we are standing here doesn't mean we are standing in the same plane in the spirit. The compartment in the altar, in the tabernacle, is different. So I can switch them and stand in a place where I can communicate divine. I can communicate divine life to him. Watch. The reason is this. I have just switched them. physically, where are we standing? But spiritually, you have to realize where somebody is standing, so that we know the kind of ministry you can receive from that person. Huh? I told them this at Enugu, at Eva Valley. Huh? Where is she? Was there. I was teaching them. I told them somebody can stand now and switch them in the compartment. I told them, watch, let's switch. Now, because the real tabernacle has left physical element, the real priesthood has left physical element, and the real tabernacle has left physical dimension and has become spiritual. Are you with me? Then our attention has to be transferred to the reality now, captured in the activities that is going on in man and the tabernacle that is man now. Are you with me? The tabernacle was a physical structure in the time of Aaron, but it is now man, housing the dimensions of man, the outer court representing the physical and bodily dimension, the holy place representing the heart and soulish dimension, and the holiest of all representing the spirit dimension. Are you with me? Activities taking place in these three realms will determine the kind of priesthood that is going on. That is why I said that prayer is both a spirit and a spiritual engagement. Watch. When Aaron comes, the priest comes to the outer court, he offers the sin offering, all kinds of offering. The sin offering is for the sin, the wave offering, the heave offering, the trespass offering. There are six major kinds of offering that you offer. Those things are to administer to the needs of the people. If you study about the ministry of the Levites, their job is to minister to the people. Huh? When you leave the outer court and enter the holy place, your job is not to minister to the people. Your job is to minister to yourself. It is there that you gain edification. Are you with me? You are built up. Then you leave the holy place and enter the holiest of all. What is your job? I didn't hear you. Your job now is to what? Minister to job. So priesthood in the outer court emphasizes on ministering to the people in the holy place. Prayer in the outer court, the holy place, ministering to yourself. In the holiest of all, ministering to God. According to the book of Acts chapter 13, the scripture said that in the city of Antioch are certain teachers, priests, and all kinds of people. Are you with me? Lucius of Cyrene, Manen, which have been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. Next verse. And as they minister to who? So this kind of ministry now is to who? There is a ministry to the Lord. So when you begin to minister to the Lord, now I want to show you something before I go. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 2, quickly. Now watch. Are you watching? This is where I'm going to close. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick. What is there? Number 2. The true bread, which is called the sanctuary. Let's see verse 3. And after the second veil, the tabernacle is called what? The holiest of all. Verse 4. Which had what? You see, there is a challenge with these people. If you are using a Bible that have notes, if you click on the notes, what we see there is altar of incense. The people translating this had a challenge. They had a challenge because they were comparing that place I read in the book of Leviticus and here. And when you compare it, are you with me? The altar of incense is actually in the holy place, in the old covenant. Are you with me? Follow me. But something happened. When the man that is writing this in the New Testament, New Covenant, is writing it, he is assuming, remember we read the holiest of all before now. He is simply saying that the altar of incense is now in the holiest of all. But in the time of Aaron, are you with me? Oh, I just hope we will get this.
in the time of Aaron, the altar of incense is in the holy place. But in the time of Christ, in the regime of the believer, the altar of incense has been moved from the holy place to where? So the people that translated the scripture was having challenge with it, because they believed that the scripture, the Bible, should be compatible, that what he's saying in the old should be what he's saying in the new. But there is a fundamental thing they are missing. Translation is not the same thing as interpretation. So when you interpret what is actually happening, in the new covenant, the veil was what? Torn. And some things that were in the outer court was brought into the holy place. There is a reason why those offices was left in the holy place, because the flesh is still a demarcation between the service of men to God. But when the veil was torn by the flesh of Jesus, many of those activities happening in the holy place were inducted in the holiest of all. And when they came into the holiest of all, they became activities of the holiest of all, such that prayer in the old covenant was something that happened in the outer court and the holy place. But in the new covenant, it became a spirit adventure. Are you with me? Are you now seeing why I said prayer is a spirit and a spiritual experience? I first of all showed you the layout of the tabernacle. So the altar of incense is where? In the new covenant is where? In the old covenant is where? Are you seeing it? Because the veil was torn, many things were brought there. In fact, in the old covenant, the ark of the covenant only contains the tablets of testimony. But after some time, in fact, certain things started to enter it. After some time, it contained the Aaron's rod that budded, representing the resurrection, and then the pot of manna. By the time we entered the new covenant, many things entered. The candlestick also entered. Did you see it there? What is the representation of the seven candlesticks? The church. The church became a spiritual entity at the resurrection. By the death and resurrection of Jesus, when the veil was torn, the church was inducted in the day of resurrection to move from a holy place activity to a spiritual dimension. I hope you hear it. So the activities of the church that God intended, there was a church in the wilderness, and the best of the activity was found in the holy place. Are you with me? But when the veil was torn by the oppressions and the atonement of Jesus, the desire of God was achieved in that the church and the altar was brought in the holiest of all. From then onwards, both the church and the altar become a spirit and a spiritual entity. So the activities therein can only achieve the purposes of God if it is done from the spirit and if it is sponsored by a spirit. Are you seeing it? And as I've taught you, that the church is a spiritual entity. There is a praying spirit within me, I pray, hear not I that pray. There is a praying spirit. When you're coming into the holiest of all, as a matter based on the fact that you are inducted by being born again, the resurrection dimension of God has torn the veil. Are you with me? And then inducted certain things. The candlestick representing the church, the altar of incense, is now in the holiest of all. It means that if men accurately prayed, they have to pray in the spirit. And by what? The spirit. Because in the new covenant, prayer is no more a holy place activity. It is no more an outer court activity. Men actually prayed when they pray from the holiest of all, and when they pray by the administration of the spirit of the holiest of all. Are you getting the point now? That is why we said this. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you the activities of the holiest of all, so that your prayer ministry will become robust. Tell him to kill every desire to pray in the flesh, to pray in the natural, to engage prayer and priesthood in the natural. Tell him to forgive you for all the years that you have ignored him and tried to pray in the flesh and by your own strength. Pray for 2 minutes. I pray, hear not I.
that pray. I pray, hear not I that pray. I pray, hear not I that pray. There is a praying spirit within me, oh. I pray, hear not I that pray. I pray, hear not I that pray. Victor, we pray, hear not we that pray. The Holy Ghost, there is a praying spirit within me, oh. I pray, hear not I that pray. We pray, hear not we that pray. My God, we pray, hear not we that pray. There is a praying spirit within us, oh. We pray, hear not we that pray. We pray, hear not we that pray. We pray, hear not we that pray. There is a praying spirit within us, oh. We pray, hear not we that pray. We pray, hear not we that pray. We pray, hear not we that pray. There is a praying spirit within us, oh. Teveriata mahambre Gaparanta kapaduaska tamantele Rakapata patagante Shtapa kapapiante liante pekuta kapanata